This rod does not bud. Father God, show us more concerning this heavenly pattern. Just as Moses was able to see everything in an exact way, this is also what we want to see through the Lord. Lord, you need to help us. Lord, we trust you, and we mix and mingle this word with faith. This is the wisdom of the Lord to show us such a wonderful picture. And it shows us how important it is. And it also shows us that here we see, according to this picture, maybe I do need to use this staff, this stick. Oh, Lord Jesus. He has a very large rod in his hand. There are three areas. There's the outer court, where most of the people are. And the food that they eat in this outer court was very general food. It's where all could eat this food. Various things were prepared on this altar, and there was also the meal offering, and you can only take a handful to offer, and the rest was for the people to enjoy. And then in this area, in the inner court, not all were able to enter. Only the priests were able to enter. And in this inner court, there is also a special type of food. These 12 loaves of bread, 6 and 6. And this shows us the humanity of the Lord. And I hope we really touch this anew when we eat. But the true eating of this wonderful bread is the Lord Himself. And especially His humanity. And John confirms this. I am the bread. And this is what we have to see. This inner court is something special, something more special than the outer court. And here, in the outer court, the food is very general. It's for all to eat. But this portion in the inner court has to be tested by the Lord. It has to remain before the presence of the Lord. That's why it's called the show bread. It's not a show for us. Before the presence of God. And so God wants to see it first, test it first. And as the Lord was on this earth, He was tested by all and in all situations. And above all, He was tested by God. Praise the Lord. And that's why we see that this is a special type of food. And this food is for the priests who serve in the inner court. This is a special food for the priests. This is what we really have to appreciate. And when one enters to the area of the ark, and when you are in this ark, there is an even more special type of food, namely the hidden manna, the golden pot. This is a very special type of food, which is what we read in Revelation 2. It is a reward for the overcomers. He who overcomes, to him I will give to eat of the hidden manna. This is really wonderful. And also, the tree of life is more general. It's not hidden. It's open food, or food that is open for all to eat. It is not something that special. It is just the tree of life. But here, in the ark, there is the hidden manna. This food is different from the showbread and is also different from the food in the outer court. So it really depends where you are. It depends where you are. And when you are outside of the outer court, when you are in the good land, you can eat of all the produce of the good land, wherever you are. But the best, the first fruits of this produce, you bring it to his house in Jerusalem. That is already better than what is outside the tabernacle. And in the inner court, it's yet again better than the food that is in the outer court. And sometimes we think we already know, but there is a lot that we do not yet know. Food of which we do not yet know. And here in the ark, it's even more special, the food that is in the ark. That shows we have to really seek him. Do not think you already know everything. And here, who is qualified to eat of this hidden manna? It is he who overcomes. Those who can eat of the food in the inner court are the priests. And who can eat of the food in the outer court? It is those who come to Jerusalem. Who can come to the feast? He who wants to feast, he who is strong, is manly, he can come to the outer court. There are different types of qualifications for each section, for each area. What do we want? Are we already satisfied if we eat of the produce of the good land? Many are satisfied with whatever they can get. But many are no longer satisfied. And then they find Jerusalem. And when they come to Jerusalem, then they bring the first fruits to God. But only those who are in the outer court can eat of the first fruits. But the priests, they receive a better portion. And here there is yet another type of food. Praise the Lord. And this is an aspect in which the Lord wants to encourage us. What do you seek after? What type of food do you seek after? are you already satisfied with a general type of food? Or do you have an appetite for something wonderful? Call to me, and I will show you great and wonderful things which you do not yet know. This is what God said to Jeremiah. Don't you have the desire to taste the more special type of food? Some are maybe already satisfied with what they have, and they think, okay, that's enough. What more can you offer me? They say to the Lord. They don't want anything else. They already think what they have suffices. But the Lord always wants to show us more. It depends on whether or not you have the appetite, and whether you have the appetite for more. And when you go from the outer court to the inner court and enter in behind the veil, there's always more. Just like in Ezekiel. Just like the places to eat there. That's why we have to continue to learn and to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to just go on with you in a general way and to be satisfied with what I already have. Many people are in various groups. There are for years in a group, Baptist or whatever type of group, and they're already satisfied. My sister in Toronto at that time, she was in many different groups. And one day, the Lord opened her eyes and she came to the church. And then she really tasted something there. And she became totally different. And she told me that she read the Bible before but didn't see much. And oh, that I didn't understand, and that I totally couldn't grasp, and this also. And since she has come to the church, all of a sudden the Bible became something so different for her. I was surprised and astonished myself, because now she has hunger and now she wants even more. Praise the Lord. My niece as well, who came to the conference about the heavenly kingdom in 2014. Yeah, maybe some don't appreciate this word. But for the first time, she saw, I read the Bible for 40 years, and I never discovered this concerning the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And now, she drives 1 hour from Los Angeles to Fountain Valley to go to the meetings because she has such a desire. She wants to have the Lord. And she wants to see Him more. She wants to taste Him more. She told us, I want to make up for all the time I have wasted. And she tried to tell all her friends and her acquaintances and her Christian friends. And she was astonished. No one wanted to know. No one wanted to hear. No one had any interest. They thought, won't they all be so excited to see this? And she was astonished that no one had an appetite for this. So, it depends on where you are, and where you are, that determines what type of food you are eating. And so this shows us that we need to continue. Even in the inner core, this showbread, to eat the showbread, it is indeed good. It is much better than to eat the food in the outer court. But there is still more. We need to be those who enter in and stand before the ark and see the glory of God and before the throne of grace, to really come forward and receive something from the Lord. It is so wonderful. We all have to learn this. But it depends on your appetite. He who seeks, finds. We have to have hunger more and more. I haven't seen so much. There was a time one brother said, all that we have to see, we have already seen in the Bible. And I thought, oh, wow, really? No, no one can see everything, because there's so much which we do not yet know, which we have not yet discovered. And if there's so much that we don't know about in this universe, in this world, how could we know everything about God? So it is really important that we learn to enter in. Lord, I want to receive this hidden manna. Give me more of this precious food. This precious food is for those, only for the overcomers. Only for those who go all the way to the end and do not stop. I hope that all of us would have such a desire and say, Lord, I want this food that is hidden. I want this extra portion, even this portion that is hidden in the golden pot. In the ark, which is hidden in the most holy place. It is hidden many times, or, yeah, many degrees of being hidden. It is healthy to tell the Lord, I don't know enough. I want to know more. Especially everything that you do today, what is necessary for us to reach the goal, so that we would become first fruits. We want to follow him. We want to eat this food. We want to eat the food that is for the overcomers. And we see this in this wonderful picture. And here we also see how our brother also said, this altar is it's a general prayer. And at the beginning of Luke, the father of John the Baptist, it was all prayed, and it was at this time, yeah, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And when he went in, that is when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and showed him what would happen, that he would receive a son who would go before the Messiah And he even told him what his name should be. He told him, John. Praise the Lord. You know the story. When he came out, he was mute. He could no longer speak. And the Lord saw that something all the people saw that something happened to him, but they didn't know what. They knew something happened. Until he was born, until John was born, his son, then he could say, he shall be called John. This was not just any incident or a general incident. It was the most important incident of the age, of that time. It was a time of the first coming of the Messiah. And it is so important. And the Lord waited until he came in to pray and to burn incense. It was not just any old or any type of revelation. It was something very important. And today, if people want to know what the Lord wants to do, and now the time has come where he is about to come, and hopefully he will appear to us and speak to us in this time before the Lord's coming. He will speak to us when we have learned to serve him before this golden incense altar and to lay hold of the heavenly reality. Then he will grant us revelation concerning what he wants to do and what he will do. And only the priests can do this if they are faithful in their service. And at the time of Zadok, all the Levites walked away. But only Zadok remained faithful and served in this area and preserved this service in his house. We shouldn't underappreciate this or despise the priestly service. And much less should we be against it and prohibit people to carry out this priestly service. That is not wise. Sorry to say, but it is not wise. Yeah, but we have to really treasure this wonderful service. And in our hearts, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want? What is your will? The will of the Father has to happen in our time. We have to always say, Lord, what do you want to do at the end of this age? He has done a lot in the past times and in past ages, but I'm speaking about today. I'm speaking about this age. And now, hopefully it is the end times and the last age. I for sure want to know what the Lord wants to do. What is God's will for our time now? What do you want to reach? What do you want to gain? Someone has to ask this, or? Because if no one asks, then the Father will say, how come no one is asking? No one has an interest in what I want to do today. We always look at the past. That was glorious at that time. Yeah, maybe it was. But now it's no longer glorious. It was good, but now it's no longer good. It was wonderful, but now it's really horrible. Indeed, it is really so. Yeah, it was. But I do not live in the past. Today we are living now and today. And now we really want to know, Father, what is the way in which we should go now? What do you want to reach? What do you want to attain? What do you want to do? Do you ask the Lord in such a way? Yes. And if not, learn to ask him now. Before the golden incense altar, say, Lord, show me and show all the saints. We stand faithful before you and show us how to go on. Show us what you want. If he doesn't show us, how will we ever know? 1 Corinthians shows us that God has really hidden things that haven't come forth in man's heart. We have to ask the Lord, what do you want? How do you want to bring your church onwards? To pull and draw your church onwards? How will you create this glorious holy church? Where will you find this glorious building? With this acacia wood overlaid with gold. With such a wonderful covering full of glory. Lord, where can we find this today? Show me. And I will for sure go immediately there. Don't you have such a desire? Don't you have such a desire? And we should say, Father, if you don't show me, how in the world are we supposed to know? I cannot make up something myself. Speak to me. Show me. I really want to know. If no one asks, if no one has a golden bowl to pray, just like James, sorry, Jude, not James, pray in the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit knows what the will of God is. Often, we don't even know what to pray. But in Romans, Paul says he helps us in our prayers. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit knows. The Spirit dwells in you. The anointing dwells in you. What does the anointing want to teach you? Does he want to teach you about some knowledge? What does this mean? What does that mean? Oh, I have to give a message on Sunday. Oh, show me what to say. We really have to have this desire to know what the will of the Father is and to tell him, if you don't show me, how can I know what your will is? And Paul speaks of the mystery which was hidden in God in times past. God has many mysteries. And in the Psalms, it says, the mystery of the Lord is with those who fear. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The Lord reveals his secrets. And in God, many things are hidden. And he doesn't just show just anybody what his secret is. We people, we can't keep a secret, but not God. If you have a secret, Don't tell anybody because the entire world will immediately know your secret. Because we can't keep secrets. Our tongue is so loose. But not God. He wants to do so much, but who can he tell of all these things? We need to be people like Abraham, to whom God said, how can I hide the things from Abraham, the things which I want to do from Abraham? So praise the Lord. We want to be such priests. And I am convinced that when we exercise ourselves to burn incense, and this incense is Christ, this anointing oil with all its ingredients and all its components is Christ to anoint us. And before this incense altar, we offer incense to the Father. We have to learn this. We have to exercise this. On the one hand, the anointing teaches us all things. And as soon as the anointing teaches you what the Father wants, you say, okay, let me go ahead and do it. No. Let this anointing be implemented in you as this, or be transformed in you into this incense that is offered to the Father, so that the Lord in you is the one who carries out his will, not you alone. This is the way of the Father. The saints know the end is coming. And the judgment is coming. And if we know this, we have to let this anointing within us work within us and bring it back to the Father as prayer. This is the incense. This is what we all have to experience. If not, then the Lord doesn't have to show you anything. Why would he show you anything, or for what purpose, if you don't learn to turn what he has given you to ask the question, what do you want to do? When do you want to do it? How will you do it? We have to be like Daniel, to bring everything back to the Father in prayer. Daniel was a good person of prayer. It is good to work together with the Lord in such a way. We don't work with him and cooperate with him in doing so many activities, but we work with him by learning to serve him here. Let the angels, through the prayer that we bring up to him, let the angels fill this golden bowl with incense. And along with the prayer of the saints, let it rise to the Father before the throne. If this is what we do, then something will happen. Thunder, lightning, voices, earthquakes. Then everything will happen. Without it, nothing will happen. Today, as priests, we need to carry out this service. When he shows this to us, we have to turn it into prayer for the Father. Just like the Lord It is not I who does it, but the Father who is in me. He is the one who does his work. The Lord didn't do everything alone. And that's why we have to pray. He prayed. There is so much to learn. And when you enter behind the veil, just as our sister read, before this ark, I will show you everything that you should speak to the people. There, before the ark, there is the living speaking. Of course, this book is the Word of God. But it is not yet the living speaking of the Spirit. My words, they are spirit and they are life. And in the most holy place, the Lord speaks very specifically. In many occurrences and events, the Lord spoke very directly to Paul, to Peter. God speaks. And we have to experience this. But he doesn't just speak because he's bored, because no one talks to him. No, he speaks just to speak anything. There is no small talk. He speaks with a very specific burden concerning what he wants to carry out. And we should be such people to whom he can speak. So I hope that more and more all of us in this time would experience such a speaking from the Lord. Of course, you may not hear it every day, but if there is a need, then he will speak to you. And I experienced this in the past through many different incidences. The Lord speaks very specifically if it is necessary, if it concerns his matter. And that's why we have to come to the most holy place. But he who enters in, needs Aaron's rod. This signifies that we have to stand under his authority, under his ruling. If we are disobedient people, we cannot hear what the Spirit has to speak. God doesn't speak to people who cannot hear or who do not hear. Just like Hebrews says, if our hearts are hardened, why would God speak with you? Then God is speaking to the wall. If you speak to someone and he doesn't hear, how do you say that in German? Yeah, speaking to the wall. The Chinese say it's like playing music for the cows. It's like playing Mozart for cows. They won't understand. They don't even have understanding for music. They're tone deaf. Why would the Lord speak to you if you will not listen to him anyway? If we don't understand or will not understand, he will not speak to us. So if we enter into the most holy place, we need to have this budding rod of Aaron. The authority of the Lord is absolute. Only he has this rod. No one else has this authority. If someone says, you should listen to me, in the church you have to listen to me. Listen to me. Then it's like the voice of the people of Korah, the household of Korah. It's not the voice of the Lord. The rod of Aaron became this budding rod because there was a rebellion. You know, rebellion is not against people, but rebellion is against God. Okay, at the most we are disobedient to other people. But when it concerns rebellion, it's rebellion against God alone. And at that time, the household of Korah, they said, God doesn't only speak through you, Moses. God also speaks to us and through us. And why do you rule over us? Do you think Moses was ruling? No. Moses, it says he was the most modest, most meek man on the earth. How could this person be accused of ruling? But oddly enough, Korah thought he's ruling. But he was not the one who was ruling. But actually the suspicion was probably that Korah wanted to rule. Those who want to rule do not want that anyone else rules. And then God was really angry. And this shows we don't need to defend ourselves. Moses didn't defend himself. It's not necessary. If we carry out what God says, then we don't need to defend ourselves. Because what they did was against God and not against Moses. And what Moses did was from God. God wanted to do it. Moses was just a poor slave. He was a poor slave. He did what God wanted. And God was angry. And God said, okay. Not only the household of Korah, but all of the people of Israel had the same problem. But Korah was just dumb enough to do it and to say it. Some people say, oh, Korah was really, the household of Korah was really bold. No, I say he was dumb. The dumb Korah did this. And then he said, take all your little sticks, your little chopsticks, not your big rods, but your chopsticks, and put them in. And after that, the day after, the Lord showed who really had the true authority. And it wasn't even Aaron's authority, because Aaron wasn't able to make this rod bud. Aaron was not the one who did it. That this rod budded. That showed that it was something of God and not of man. It showed that Moses didn't have the authority. It showed also that Aaron didn't have the authority. No, but God had the authority. God gave them the authority, and the authority came from Him. And we all have to see this when we enter in to the holiest place. I subject myself under your authority. We do not have our own authority. It's an affront to say that we would. How can a slave have authority or a servant have authority? In 1 Peter 5, it says that you should not serve as overseers, not by compulsion, or you shouldn't be lords over those entrusted to you. But you should be examples to the flock. What type of example will you be for the saints? So this picture shows us that there's not much in there. There is no pieces of gold, there's no money, there are no euros there. Nothing. That means there's nothing in there that you can find that is gain or profit for you. Praise the Lord. However, there is manna. Praise the Lord. And manna, the meaning of this word means, what is this or what is that? Because as they were in the wilderness, they complained that they had nothing to eat, and then God sent manna from heaven. And they all said, what is that? Manhu. Manna or manhu. In Hebrews it's called manhu. What is this? And that's why it's called manna. Because they did not know what it was. But we also don't know what is hidden. Manhu, Lord, what is this? Lord, show me. Show me what there still is. That means everything that is in there is not for your own profit, for your own gain. This bread, this manna, is a reward. It's an extra portion for those who remained faithful. And the rod of Aaron is for those who truly recognize his authority. He who dares to exercise his own authority is dumb, is a fool. He tries to take Aaron's rod, but Aaron's rod is hidden in the ark. Often we like to take the rod, Aaron's rod out. But he who tries to open the ark and take the rod out, he will die. Only he has this rod. In Matthew 28, he said to his disciples, I have given you all authority has been given to me. in heaven and on earth. What authority has been given to him? Just a little bit? No, all authority. So what type of authority or what authority do you want to have? It is good enough that he has all authority given to him. He doesn't say, go therefore and take this rod. He says, no, I am with you always. This is good enough. Why do you yourself want authority or need authority? Do you think his authority is not sufficient? You need extra authority? He alone has all authority, because all authority has been given to him. And if he has it, it's enough. You don't need authority. And remember what Paul said. Although he had the authority from the Lord, he dared not use it. He didn't use it. So, dear saints, we have to learn this. All of us have to learn this. And he who comes to him must be righteous. We have to recognize that the Lord is our righteousness. He became sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God in him. We're not full of deceit and lies. Just as we read in the Psalms, that we have lying lips and a deceitful tongue. We are people who hate peace. Lord Jesus, if we are like this, how can we enter in? We cannot. So I believe that is enough concerning this picture. Amen. If you want to have more fellowship about this, now's your chance. Otherwise, we won't see this picture anymore. Oh, I'll pass the baton to you now. Of course, this is not Aaron's rod, but you can have this. This is the experience that we all have to have today. To have such a church life, then, if we have such a church life, then we will have peace. Then we will have righteousness and peace, because he is the King of righteousness. And his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. And he hates lawlessness. Praise the Lord. And we have such a high priest who can enter in. Praise the Lord. Hebrews says we have such a great high priest, such a high priest. I think we understand now. Amen? At least a little bit. Of course, we don't see everything yet, but we have laid hold of a little bit. And I hope he will show us more clearly in our experience how this building will be perfected now in our time, and how the Lord will come back. So I think we'll stop here so that we won't all be too tired. Otherwise, it's a little bit too much. Too much is also not good. If we eat too much, and then it's not good for your stomach.